Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
I want to share a word that I believe will encourage you, and not only encourage you, but will also challenge you as you leave here today and as we go into this week with Easter on the horizon. And so to do that, I've got a Bible verse. I think it's going to come up in a moment. And before we go into it, let's just pray really quickly. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're able to do. And this morning, we declare, we praise you in advance for what you're going to do in this place. And everyone said, amen. Awesome. So John chapter 1, verse number 12, reading from the King James Version. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Someone say sons of God. Awesome. There's another translation in the NIV. The same verse, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I love this passage of scripture because it's here that we find out that you and I, we are sons. You and I, we are children of God. It's a good place to say, come on. We are sons and children of God. And I get super excited because before this place, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 10, that you and I, we had no identity. I think it will come up on the screen in a moment. It says that you and I were without an identity. And then Christ came, and because of that, we had a new identity. In other words, we went from having no identity to now becoming royalty. And I love the fact that in the moment, at a point in time, you and I all opened our mouths. And we proceeded to begin to say these words out of Romans 10, verse 19. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Bible says then we became children of God. And what a moment it was. Wherever you were when you mentioned those words, wherever you were when you confessed those words, whether it was in a church like this morning or perhaps even at home, wherever it was, something significant began to happen in that moment. Because when you opened your mouth and you declared him as your Lord and Savior, the chains began to break. You and I now became free. Free from the condemnation of our past. Free from the mistakes and the guilt and the shame that we were walking around with our head down. Now you and I were free. Before this moment, there was a label upon us, a label called orphan. And the moment that we received him, that label was now made redundant. Because we experienced the embrace of a heavenly father. A father whom some in our family may refer to as El Shaddai. A father whom some in our family would refer to as Rapha. A father whom some in our family would refer to as the I am that I am. A father whom our spirits, and Galatians says, it cries out, Abba, Father. This is your father. This is my father. This is our heavenly father. And so now that we've laid this foundation, that you and I, we are sons and children of God, Maybe you're here in this room and you haven't yet said these words in that prayer. Well, in about 30 minutes, you'll have the opportunity to be able to open your mouth and confess that Jesus is Lord. And so now that I'm a son, the question is, do I remain a son? Is that all that God has for me? Or perhaps there's more. Maybe there's more. Turn to the person next to you and say, maybe there's more. Turn to the other person and say, but wait, there's more. Damn, blind God, there's always more. In the book of Genesis, we're introduced to a young man, a gentleman. At this stage of his life, he is just a son of God. His name is Abram. And God begins to talk to him. I think it'll come up in a moment. God begins to speak to him. And he says, I will bless you. And you shall be a blessing. And I'm thinking, ooh, give me some of that. I receive that in Jesus' name. He says, I will bless you. And you'll become a blessing. And then God continues and he says, and through you shall the nations of the earth be blessed. I think we ought to pause for a moment just to let that sink in a little bit. He says, I will bless you. This first level of blessing, I would refer to as the personal blessing. This is for Abraham himself. This is for God being able to provide for him to have a tent that him and his family has a roof over their head. This is the blessing of Abraham to become a son and a child of God, just like you and I. But God doesn't stop there. He continues on to say, and through you shall the nations. In other words, God had just activated the legacy blessing. He's now saying, Abram, yes, I will bless you. But through you, I have a plan to bless so many other people. And at this time of the story, God decides to allow him to visualize what he's trying to communicate. Genesis 15 now, God says, Abraham, come out of the tent. Come out of that roof over your head. And Abraham steps out. And God says to him, I want you to look up into the sky. Abraham, he's now looking. And God says, as many stars as you can number, so shall your descendants be. You see, every time God speaks about generations, he is speaking about salvation. So there he stood, young man. Just a tent behind him. Not much, but just a little. Yet God spoke about his future. And for some of us here today, we, even as I'm speaking about Abraham, I'm really speaking about you and I. That some of us here today, little do we know that there are nations within us. That some of us here today, that little do we know that there is legacy on the inside of us. To the person who feels there is nothing on the inside of you, I'm here to correct you and fact check that wrong statement. To tell you that God has so much in you. The Bible says, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. In the late 90s, God spoke to a man, and he said these words to the man from the mouth of the man. Go father your states. Pastor Shane received a word that was beyond the four tent peg markings of his tent, aka Abraham. This would be a word that would extend beyond even the regional part of Victoria that he came from. This would be a word that one day would extend into the nations. Hello, Osaka and Cambodia. And in that moment, A seed was sown. And I so believe that for us here today, God is wanting to use this story to speak to us, to tell us and remind us that there are legacy within us, to remind us that there are souls within us, to remind us legacy is hereby activated. There is so much more than just you. And Abraham, as he hears the first part, the personal part, that's all good. When we hear, that's all well and good. But now that I'm a son, now that I'm a child of God, what about my fellow brothers and sisters? Perhaps those in my workplace, perhaps even my neighbor, perhaps those around me. What about them? And the message title this morning is called the Evangelism Starter Pack. What about those around me? Because when Abraham was looking in the stars in the sky, there were so many that he couldn't count. God has so much room for so many sons, for so many daughters. No wonder he placed legacy within us. And so now, as he stands outside of his tent, Abram is now beginning to get a glimpse of the future that God has for him, that there are people that will be connected to him. And now he is out there. And I believe that prophetically today, there is legacy within us. And strategically in this week, as we lead into Easter, where we have the opportunity to invite people to church, I really believe that this week is a strategic week, that this week could be the week where people's lives are changed, where people can also experience the moment that you and I had so many years ago. This week is a powerful week. The Evangelism Starter Pack. Point number one I want to share with you this morning is called Believe His Word / S Words. So we're still in Genesis now, and God is still talking to him. And what I find interesting is this is Genesis. God hasn't revealed himself to that many people. In other words, if Abraham was to try and bring up a Google review of who this God was, there'd be none. If he was to try and go around in his local town just to get a word, you know, a referral, word of mouth referral, there'd be no one that he could ask, this God is speaking to me. Can I trust him? He has none of that. And in the absence of lack of information, Abraham decides to still believe. In the absence of physical evidence, God introduces father when he's not yet a physical father. It's like being sick and being told that you are healed. Your circumstance contradicts the promise. God speaks the promise to him. And I was just thinking, God, could you have maybe waited a few more books in the Bible? You know, so that maybe Abraham would have it'd be easier to believe what you were saying. But then again, that wouldn't be faith, would it? And so here he is. And because he believed the word, God said, I'm going to count this unto you as righteousness. You will be the father of faith. And for someone here this morning, God is saying, would you just believe me at my word? Despite what you see around you, would you just believe me at my word? The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Do you know what is greater than your circumstance you're going through? It's the word of God. The word of God is greater than any valley that you may be going through. The word of God is greater than any sickness that you may be going through. God says to him, and Abraham quickly believed. He didn't allow any moment or a space for doubt to fill him. But quickly when God spoke, he would believe the word of God. And I believe that if we're going to be people that live in legacy, if our legacy is going to count with people attached to our destinies, then we ought to begin to believe God at every word that He says. Not just some of the words that sound good to us, but every word that He says, we ought to believe. And so today, if I can, just for a moment, just speak into some lives. Maybe what you're going through today is complete opposite to what is written in the Word. Maybe for you, as Jess was praying, it might be to do with finances or provision. And because you're walking through that right now, it's hard to believe His word that I will supply all your needs according to the glory, riches in Christ. Maybe it's hard to believe, but can I encourage you? Our God has never failed before. The Bible says He is not a man that He should say something and then retract His statement. He is not a man that He should lie, but He is faithful. You can count on His word. Even if you have been disappointed before, He is not one to disappoint. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. Through Genesis, all the way through the pages to Revelation, not one man or woman did He fail. Not one person. So why would He start now? And why would He start with you? Not possible. Speaking from experience, from a little boy, my first day at school in New Zealand, in Dunedin, I couldn't speak a word of English, but God had a plan for my life. And I'm here to tell you today that He is a faithful God. Our Father, He is faithful. Abram, no evidence, no proof. We're still in Genesis. God hasn't spoken to many people, yet He decides to believe His word. If I can encourage each and every one of us here today, maybe God has already spoken to you, but you've been doubting. Can I encourage you? Don't let that word drop on the ground. Keep it here in your heart. The Bible says that though the vision shall tarry, wait for it. For it shall surely come to pass. It shall surely come to pass. It shall surely, for anyone here believing for a breakthrough, believing for a miracle, believing for a breakthrough, I have a word from God for you. Do not give up in doing good, for in due season you shall reap a harvest. Man, I wish Abraham was around today. I would hold a microphone to him at the end of his life and say, ask him, tell me about that promise that God gave you. He would tell you, oh, he was faithful. Even when I look back at that day that he told me those words, that day where I felt so much disappointment because the child that I've been believing for hadn't come yet. Yet when I look back, I can see the goodness of God. When I look back, I can see the faithfulness of God. How a God is faithful God. And where you may be right now, may be in the middle of that journey, and God would encourage you this morning, do not give up. Point number one, believe His word. Point number two is, that's a great question. Someone else who believed God's word was a lady in the book of John. The woman at the well, many of us would are familiar with that story. And I was reading the story again this week. And I realized that she was by herself. The culture of the day was that when it came to drawing water from the well, the women would normally go in groups. That would be the time they would catch up. On the latest episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That would be the moment, that would be the time they catch up on what's happening. So why was she not with other women? And the Bible said that she came in one way. In other words, she came through the alleyway, trying to avoid contact with people. She was trying to avoid contact because the story, the past. There was a bit of shame attached to her past and her story. It was one of five failed marriages. Not really a conversation starter, is it? Not really a, hey, check out my story. She would rather hide it. She'd rather not talk about the past failures. And in order to avoid the awkward conversation of, how's your husband? The Bible says she goes a different way. But little did she know that the way she went, woo, Jesus knew she would be coming there. And so he sits down and they begin this interaction that many of us would have read. And I want us to go to, I believe it's verse number 28. Verse number 28. Can we just go there really quickly? Is it there? The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city. Pause. She didn't come through the city because of all the people that were there. She came through what we would probably refer to as, Bible scholars would refer to as an alleyway. So why is she now going to where people are? What happened with the shame of that story? We'll find out in a moment. And then as she went there, this lady began to evangelize. How? By sharing her testimony. The second point is, believe in your testimony. The Bible says in Revelations that we overcame by the power of the blood and we overcame by the word of our testimony. So now, she's had all this guilt and shame and this story that she's tried to suppress. It's like the media trying to suppress the story. The story she's trying to suppress. What's happened? She now decides, no, everyone needs to hear the story now. Every single person needs to hear the story. Same woman, same story. What has changed is the encounter with God. What has changed is an encounter with Jesus, who has now given her pain a new purpose. Woo! Who knew that your pain, that my pain, could have a purpose? Who knew that your mess, God could turn it into a message? Who knew that your past failures in the week leading up to Easter, that God could use it in a casual conversation with someone that could potentially lead them to Christ? Who knew this lady that her story of what was failed in the past could actually turn around for good? Who knew that a 14-year-old boy at Ringwood Secondary College who used to smoke, who was part of a gang, who had four suspensions, who knew that all of that mess, that years later, God would turn it around and use it to help other young people? Here we go, photo. Who knew? Who knew? And as you sit here today, there is a story within you. There is a testimony within you. Who knew? About 18 months ago, this is my 13th year now in schools, but about 18 months ago, I felt God put this on my heart, that the next 9-10 years, that He wants to accelerate things. Use the power of my testimony to reach 1 million youth by 2031. And at first, I'm like, didn't really understand what it meant. But then I realized that everything I went through, He can turn what the enemy meant for evil. The kid in 2002 who was hopeless and suicidal, what the enemy meant for evil, that God could turn around for good to help other people find hope for other people. And every single one of us here today, my goodness, there is a testimony on the inside of you that God is wanting to pour out to others. And as I was writing this down, as I was preparing, I saw a room, and I saw someone in the room with a Bible. The Bible, just reading, studying the Bible. Studying the Bible. And I saw in a different room an hourglass. And the sand had begun to trickle down in this hourglass, had begun to make its way down. And in the third space, I saw people who were wanting to receive hope. And between the three spaces, I'm trying to figure out, Holy Spirit, what does this mean? And I saw almost like the person that was reading closed their Bible and begin to move to the space where the people were to begin to share a testimony with them. And when I brought it back to the story, I realized, can we bring up verse 39 just for a second, then we'll bring this back again, please, if that's okay. Verse 39, I realized something, that after her encounter, she didn't go in her room to begin to study exegesis, thesis, context, pretext of the text, to understand or begin to start her new streak. Begin to read Genesis to Revelation. There is not, I mean, that's great. But the Bible says she went straight to the city. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. Let me show this with you. If you can bring the hourglass back. But she went into the city. She began to declare, and people came and they were saved because of her testimony. And when I say time is of the essence, this is what I mean. If you want to know the value of 1 year, just ask a student who failed a course. If you want to know the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. If you want to know the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed their bus, their train, or their plane. If you want to know the value of 1 millisecond, ask the athlete who won silver at the Olympic Games. And this woman's story, their encouragement to us, is stop waiting for validation, because you have already been validated by God. The story of this lady is that I have a story on the inside of me, that I have a testimony on the inside of me. And then when I leave here today, I'm going to tell someone about that. Whether it's through a text or whatever it may be, I'm going to make a move. I'm going to do something. Because maybe, just maybe, this week, in the lead up to Easter, maybe through me sharing that story with my neighbor, my work colleague, just maybe, they might want to come to church. They might want to give their lives to God. Time is off the essence. We don't have time to continue in that room by ourselves. Continue reading, 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 reading. We ought to read a little bit and then go out. Because while we're trying to find out all of the meaning of Leviticus, what people just need to hear is John 3:16, that God loves them. That he loves them enough that he sent his only son. That's all they need to hear for now. And so this morning, as I bring this message to a close, there are two groups of people that I want to reach out to and speak to in a moment. But before we do, the evangelism starter pack, where you and I start out as sons and children of God, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. And now we're on a mission. Legacy is on the inside of us. And every word that God speaks to us, we're going to believe those words. And when we believe those words, guess what? We're now going to begin to believe in the power of our testimony. Everything that we've been through. And we're going to share this message around. I believe that this week, as I was praying, that there are hearts that are already prepared. There are hearts of our friends, hearts of our family members that are already prepared for us to just sow that seed. And I wonder in this room, who is ready to do that? Before I go on to the two groups of people, I want to share a story with you. 2 weeks ago, I was at the city campus, city location. And I was sharing there. And afterwards, the guy I messaged him last night for permission to use the story. He goes, go for it, brother. His name is Chris. Chris runs up to me and he says, hey, I just want to let you know about this time last year. It was my first Sunday ever in church. And I was sitting down and you came and you spoke. And you said that you saw me like a magnet bringing people to myself and to God. He goes, just want to report back to you that since that day, my first day, I decided to make this place my home, this church, my home church. But I also went out and I met a girl who wasn't saved, who now is saved. We're married and she's pregnant. I'm like, ooh, if it's a boy, name him Eric. No, I'm joking. And I'm like, that's cool. Then he goes on to say, and just so you know, 8 of my friends that I went out to and I reached out to have all given their lives to God in the last 12 months. Chris, it's like all of us here. Chris is each and every one of us. We all have a story. We all have a testimony. We can all do something.